can you not like that music, huh? Thank you, Mr. Reich. I'm here in studio with Romy, my son, Adam Homer, sales manager for Pella Mountain West Region. My sweet, darling wife of 39 years, Miss Sweet Jennifer, is in the call screening booth and taking your calls at 1-888-767-4348 if you'd like to ask a question. We'd like to limit the questions right now to Windus specifically, but you have one that had an unrelated question, babe?
Jim from Sedona, yeah. I guess they're getting hit with those flyers that came around in the Phoenix area not too long ago from the utility company saying you need this insurance for the outside of your home. It's so many dollars a month, and it'll insure your electric box and da-da-da-da-da.
I'd sure like to know what this company, and it's a national company, and they're partnering with cities all over. I mean, it's a brilliant, money-making scheme and program that they're convincing cities to endorse their insurance program to protect your water meter and your masthead. Now, Adam, I know you're not as old as me, but when was the last time you had an unexpected repair to your masthead?
Can you first explain what a masthead is?
I was going to ask, too. I'm glad you did.
They want you to buy insurance to protect that riser from your electric panel that goes through the eave where the power comes in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I've been remodeling for almost 50 years. I can never remember having an unscheduled maintenance repair to an electrical masthead.
In both homes I've owned, I've never had any issues with that.
Now, if I owned a company that I could charge just 1 cent per household, and I could give you a one-year guarantee on your masthead, it's almost too affordable not to do it, right?
Right, yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And you'd probably be a rich man.
I would only need, and I got an agreement with every major metropolitan city in the country. I would only need 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 million people to subscribe to that service.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great deal.
Man, oh, man. Let's get back to Windus. If you'd like to call and ask Adam a question about Windus, feel free to do so and join the conversation so I don't hog the whole conversation. Windus have always been one of those little curious things of mine, because as I came into the industry, they were going through, well, virtually every part of the home was going through a wave of improvement. But Windus in particular, from what we were putting in back in the 60s and what we're putting into now today, are just, it's just vastly different. But if you'd like to join the conversation, or if you have a question about Windus, 1-888-767-4348. And we've talked about all the frame options. Well, we haven't talked about all the frame options, but we've talked about the majority of the frame options that are out there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about now the other part of a window that's a pretty important part is the part you see through.
That's right. Okay? Yeah.
So we've identified what the better frame products are. Now, we started with a single pane of 1/8-inch glass in our windows. And someone came up with the brilliant idea of, well, let's put two layers of glass with a layer of air in the middle and call it dual pane or insulated glass. Well, at that point, we took the glass from an R1 or less.
Mm-hmm. Probably less.
Yeah, to about an R2. An R, and I know y'all rate windows by U value, but I think homeowners think in R value terms. The higher the R value, the more insulation that product has. So as your R value in the wall goes from R19 to R27 to R35, the higher that is, the higher resistance, get it? High R, resistance. The higher resistance that surface has to heat transfer. Mm-hmm. So y'all stick with me here. We're talking about the science of windows. So this is like a little bit above freshman grade. So if we on the R scale can take anything from an R0.5 to an R2, it doesn't sound like much. But on the low end of the scale, you're actually going to get exponential returns. At some point, your R gets so much that your returns are going to diminish and go to zero and start actually get negative returns. Mm-hmm. So on that low scale, when we took the windows from 0.5 to near 2, we thought we were just incredibly brilliant.
Yeah.
And that was with just eighth inch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and don't forget the
and all clear.
Yeah, right, exactly. No coatings, no gas. There was also that time where there was a lot of storm windows being put in over existing single pane. I don't know if that was big in Arizona, yeah. But I remember a lot of people would do that in the Northwest.
We didn't see that here near like y'all did up there or on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, it's come a long way. Even in the 17 years I've been in the window and door industry, things have changed immensely.
Well, we saw the single pane of glass get another layer added to it with a layer of air in between. Mm-hmm. And literally some of the lower end insulated windows, that air gap is so small, you can hardly even tell that it's not one piece of glass.
Right, yeah, and it didn't really do much.
It didn't. So we grew that interior gap mm-hmm. from an eighth of an inch to 3/16 to a quarter to a half to 5/8. I have said for years, yet you need a minimum of a half, 5/8, 3/4, 1 inch is better. Mm-hmm. But then we started doing weird things to that space in between the glass.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if it was marketing or what it was to try to convince people that they needed a bigger space or more panes of glass. But, you know, Pella is an engineering-based company. They employ more engineers than probably any other position in that company. And they're very bright people. And then, so they figured out through scientific testing what makes the most, you know, what is the most energy efficient way to make it. So, and you know, I'll have customers ask, well, what is the space between your glass and how thick is the glass?
Right.
Well, it depends on a lot of different things. How big is the glass?
Yes.
Like this window in your studio would have a bigger gap between it than, say, a smaller bathroom window. And the thickness of the glass itself and we do it in millimeters. You know, usually the thinnest we make is about 3 millimeters, and then on a really big window, it could be 5 millimeters thick, and so the gap is even bigger. There's a lot of variables, but we design each and every window based on those factors to make sure that it performs the way it's supposed to.
Okay. Well, I want to continue this conversation, but I have invited people to call. A couple have gone on, so let's reward them and welcome them into the conversation. Roger's calling from Phoenix with a window question. Roger, how can we help you, my friend?
Yes, good morning. Those are great windows Pella makes.
Well,
I got a question. I have some casement windows, those old steel windows. Last time I removed them in my last house, I broke every panel getting them out. Mm. Is there an easy way of getting those frames out without breaking the glass?
Is it a masonry home?
Yes, block home.
The easy way would be knock the wall down, put the brick back up.
I think you're right on that.
These steel windows were a product we were installing in the 50s. They came out of California. They were manufactured in Torrance, California. They're called Torrance windows. They're bulletproof. They're steel, but they're dated. And they're horribly energy inefficient. How many of those have y'all torn out? And how do you get one out of a masonry wall without tearing it apart?
Well, to your point, not very easily. And depending on, you know, you go all around Arizona and there's different pockets of how houses were built and what kind of products. You see a lot of those, you know, the 50s style homes and windows down by the airport. You certainly see them down in Tucson, and I'm sure there's other places as well. But, there isn't a more difficult window or door to take out than a steel product. You need certainly a reciprocating saw with you know, diamond tip blades and a lot of them. And again, there's really not an easy way to do it, but we do it all the time. You know, in those masonry homes, we've developed ways to get those out without destroying the wall or the plaster usually on the inside.
When I'm estimating a window replacement myself, and I'm looking at a original Torrance window, you know, there were some that were simply set in place after the masonry was up, and just a cut nail is through that pre-drilled hole in the jamb. And I look at those and I think, oh, man, I'm going to get these out real easy. But, boy, if I don't see the head of that cut nail coming through the frame, I know I'm going to be an hour and a half in just getting it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know I think a lot of the guys use the those diamond blade reciprocating wheels,
yeah,
you know, cutting wheels, and they'll cut
from
it out.
The grinder.
Yeah, yep. Grinding wheel. Yep. Thank you. Yeah, they'll use those to take it out too. That can be really messy, dusty,
it is.
Loud.
It is. Well, a lot of Torrance windows were installed all through Arizona. Roger, I appreciate the phone call. They are tough to get out. There isn't any reason you should try and do it to preserve the window. Okay.
No.
They have no residual value to them. The frames don't allow you to – they don't give you the space to even remove the single pane of glass and put an insulated panel in there. You wouldn't want to do that because the steel's so energy inefficient. No matter what you glaze it with, it's still going to be energy inefficient.
Yeah.
And you can't seal those up at all. The best Torrance windows I've seen that seal up really nice are the ones that are sealed up with paint and caulk.
they just caulk it shut.
They just caulk it shut.
Yeah.
And I promised we'd talk about other glazing options. So we went to eighth. We started inserting gas in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started coming up with coatings that we could put on the inboard side of the outboard pane. Talk through some of these coatings that we've developed the last 20 years.
Yeah. So they're, you know, if you look at the anatomy of a window, let's say, you've got different surfaces of the glass. And in window speak, you've got, surface 1, 2, 3, and 4, because you've got two sides on each, you know, each pane of glass. So they started putting these low E coatings, which stands for low emissivity. What that is, in simple terms, it's a metal flake spray that they put onto the glass on the inside that's sealed between the unit. Now, that oxide, if it's exposed to the air because it's metallic, it will actually rust. So it's important that you've got a hermetically sealed pane of glass, which all of ours are, of course.
Yeah.
But that metal flake is what reflects that light and heat out in the summertime. And it actually helps reflect the heat back into your home in the wintertime.
Yeah, low E coatings. I don't know. And when they first came out, a lot of that was being accomplished also with the insertion of gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it was to eliminate the oxygen, to eliminate the rust factor of the product. It was a totally inert gas. Argon, I think, as far as I know, was the most common one that we would put in there. And then we started asking questions like, you know, after that window has been in for 10 or 15 years, how much argon do we know is still in there?
Right. Yeah, and I still have people ask me that all the time. And I've asked different engineers back at Pello doing factory tours.
Yeah.
I know you've been on one of those too.
But
I've asked them, and they'll tell you straight out that the gas does not, it doesn't escape. What it over time, it will dissipate naturally. Argon is an inert gas, heavier than air, and they pump it in when they make it, and all the dead air that's in there gets pushed out.
Yes.
And so when the window's new, it's at, let's say, 99% argon capacity, and you're going to lose about 1% of argon each year.
Yeah.
So if your windows last 20, 30 years, you still got 70, 80% of your argon. And the thing I always tell people, too, that especially in Arizona, argon really helps more than anything to help insulate in the wintertime.
Right.
It doesn't really do much for the solar heat gain and, you know, keeping the heat
out. Well, as long as we're talking window and glass, one of the most common questions I'm asked is, Rosie, what about triple pane? So we're going to talk triple pane when we get back right after this short break. Is it worth the extra money? Do I need it? Does it save me more money? Will it cut down my bills? Triple pane windows when we get back.